Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel according to Luke, from the first chapter. I will be reading the 26th through the 38th verses, and then the 46th and 47th verses. Hear this word. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." This is the word of God for the people of God.
All right, let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, today is the first Sunday of the month, so it's time for what we are calling a 10-minute talk. In 10 minutes, I'm going to do three things. First, I'm going to tell you a story. Then I'm going to connect it to the gospel story. Then I'm going to connect it all to our present day lives. Simple, straightforward, spirit-driven, 10-minute talk, although the 8:30 service tells me it might be closer to 12 minutes. But y'all all right with that, right? All right, start your timers. Here we go. Akiva was a master teacher who lived a couple thousand years ago. One night, he's going home. And it's dark and foggy, and he misses the turnoff to his village. He goes right instead of left. He ends up at this massive military outpost, and on top of the wall is a soldier. And the soldier yells down at him and says, "Who are you, and what are you doing here?" And Akiva says, "Excuse me?" And the guard says, "I said, who are you, and what are you doing here?" And Akiva says, "How much are they paying you?" And the guard says, "What?" And Akiva says, "I said, how much are they paying you?" And the guard says, "Well, 20 denarius a week." And Akiva says, "I will pay you twice that much to come to my house and ask me those two questions every morning." Bet you didn't see that coming, right? Okay, so three quick things I want to pull from this story. First, are those the two foundational questions of human existence or what? Who are you and what are you doing here? Second, Akiva literally runs into these questions when he loses his way. When he's in the dark and the fog and he takes a wrong turn, that's when he has to stop and think about who he is and what he is doing here. Third, Akiva wants the guard to come and ask him these questions every day. It's like he knows that he needs to be reminded of his identity and his purpose. He's hopeful that maybe if he starts the day this way, he won't forget. He won't get off track. I've heard it called an Akiva moment, when you are at this point in your life when things didn't turn out like you'd hoped, or you've had a loss or taken a wrong turn. And you end up facing these deeper questions, and what starts out as a bad situation ends up being a turning point for you in which you recenter and refocus your life on what really matters. It seems to me that we are having an Akiva moment right now. Because I don't know about you, but I have felt like I've been in a bit of a fog lately. maybe even a little lost and wondering. After a year filled with violence in the streets, police officers killed right here in Dallas, innocent people shot, threats on campuses and classrooms, images of refugees struggling for survival, an election filled with rudeness and disrespect on both sides, a divided country, a divided denomination. Yes, it's like this fog has settled over us, and it makes you just kind of shake your head and go, who are we? And what are we doing here? And so where do we turn? What is there to help us get some clarity on these things? Spiritual teacher J. Philip Newell writes this: the gospel is given to tell us what we do not know or what we have forgotten. And that is who we are, sons and daughters of the one from whom all things come. It is when we begin to remember who we are and who all people truly are that we will begin to remember also what we should be doing and how we should be relating to one another as individuals and as nations and as an entire earth community. The gospel is given to tell us who we are and what we should be doing, and it begins with the story of God choosing a poor young woman as the one to bear God into the world. God's choice of Mary is significant because Mary is so insignificant in the eyes of society. She's a teenager from a poor village town. She has no status, no experience, no qualifications. The world does not choose Mary for anything. But God chooses Mary for the most important thing. The most important thing, and Mary has to accept this. She has to accept that in a world that tells her she is nothing special, that she is chosen and precious in God's eyes. I have heard that reclaiming our identity as chosen and precious in God's eyes is our lifelong task, because the world tells us many lies about who we are. That we are nothing special. And so often we allow others, our parents, partners, siblings, friends, determine our feelings about ourselves. So we feel accepted or rejected based on their reactions to us. So we try to earn and achieve to feel worthy to be loved. How easy it is to be pulled into the darkness of self-doubt and low self-esteem. Our task is to not let this happen, to see the truth about ourselves, that our value and self-worth are not given to us by any person we meet, but by the one who has chosen us and loved us with an everlasting love that began before we could even say a word. And so in the words of Henry Nouwen, every time you feel hurt, offended, or rejected, you have to dare to say to yourself, these feelings, strong as they may be, are not telling the truth about me. The truth, even though I cannot feel it right now, is that I am a chosen child of God, precious in God's eyes, called the beloved from all eternity and held safe in an everlasting embrace. There are many children, teenagers, and adults who may smile and seem okay, but deep down they wonder, am I really wanted? Am I really wanted? They question if they really matter in this world. God's answer is yes. Yes, you are wanted. Yes, I choose you. I choose you. Mary's story tells us what we did not know or what we have forgotten, that we are God's chosen ones, even when our world does not choose us. So what are we chosen for? What is it we are supposed to be doing? The early church gave Mary a title. The Greek term is Theotokos. Theo meaning God, tokos meaning bearer. So Mary is a God bearer. She is chosen as a way through which God's love is made visible on earth, and so are we. God chooses us to bear more light and more hope and more goodness in our homes and workplaces, in our schools and neighborhoods, in stores and on soccer fields, in every relationship, every encounter we have with another person, every decision we make. But God doesn't force us to participate. No, like Mary, we get to decide if we are going to be a part of this incarnation of love in the world or not. But if you know who you are, if you know that you are God's own and that you are unique and precious in God's eyes, then what else is there to do but to say yes? Yes, I want to be a part of God's ongoing work in the world. The angel first says to Mary, "Mary, you are favored." And she accepts that. And then the angel says, "The Holy Spirit will come over you and you will bear Jesus the Christ into the world." God wants to bless the world through you, Mary. And Mary says, "Here I am, and let it be." Here I am. It's a way of acknowledging that your life is a gift and it comes from God. You have been given this day and this life and this higher purpose. And so you say, "Here I am. I am fully present to this moment." And you throw yourself into it. You give everything you have to it. And at the same time, you surrender the outcome. You let it be. There is no guarantee that the outcome will be joyful. No one knew Jesus better or loved Jesus more than Mary. And no one hurt more deeply than Mary did, watching her son suffer and die on the cross. But perhaps when he met her in the garden after his resurrection, when her grief was turned into joy, when death was no longer the victor, she thought back to Christmas, to her, "Here I am, and let it be." And she knew that it was the best decision she ever made to let this holy child be born in her. When the holy child is born into our hearts, the poet Ann Weems writes, there is a rain of stars, a rushing of angels, a blaze of candles, this God burst into our lives. Love is running through the streets. I want to end with this short video that shows love running through the streets, or I should say, through the grocery store. It's the story of an 82-year-old man named Dan Peterson, who fell into a deep depression after losing his wife. He was ready to give up on life until a 4-year-old stranger in a grocery store turned everything around. Watch how this little girl reminds him of what he has forgotten, that he is chosen, and that he has room in his heart for love. Let's watch.
Finally tonight, how can you mend a broken heart? Tough question. At least we know where it can happen. Here's Steve Hartman on the road.
Not long ago, in a cemetery outside Augusta, Georgia, a loving couple was buried. The wife buried below this white bouquet. The husband buried above, in a mound of grief.
Took me totally by surprise.
82-year-old Dan Peterson says after Mary died, he fell into a deep depression. Spent days just staring out at the squirrels.
What were you living for?
I was trying to figure that out, frankly.
You had no purpose?
No.
Were you just waiting to die?
Yeah.
For 6 months, it was just that bad.
And then one day you go to a grocery store.
It all changed inside this Publix.
Dan was nearing the end of the canned vegetable aisle. He hates grocery shopping, and by all accounts, the expression on his face confirmed his aggravation. But that's when this unapproachable man was approached by a 4-year-old girl named Nora Wood.
In the security footage, you can see Nora randomly reaching out to him. Her mom, Tara, says it was quite embarrassing.
She said, "Hi, old person, it's my birthday today."
Old person?
Old person.
Hi, old person.
She says this to this cranky old man?
Yeah.
And then had the audacity to demand a hug.
I said, "A hug?" I said, "Absolutely."
Nora got her hug and then asked her mom to take a picture of her with her new friend.
She zeroed in on him like a missile. And she didn't want anything from him. She just wanted to make him feel loved and give him a hug. And his little lip quivered and He was teared up, and it was just sweet.
And I said, you don't know. This is the first time for quite a while that I've been as happy.
That all happened a couple months ago, and his grin has only gotten wider since.
Hi, sweetheart. Come in. Come in.
Today, Nora visits at least once a week.
So how's my sweetie, huh?
And every time, it's the grocery store all over again.
I knew I was going to get a hug. Oh, it's unbelievable. Totally unbelievable.
It's a bridge.
It's a bridge. Oh, okay.
Dan does have grandkids of his own, but they're all grown and gone. And Nora does have grandparents. But her mom says this is a completely different kind of bond that almost defies explanation.
She fell asleep holding a picture of them. What?
To Dan, it's equally miraculous, but far less mysterious. He believes Nora is, quite literally, an angel.
She opened me to a love that I didn't know existed.
When your wife died, you felt like you didn't have any purpose anymore. Do you feel like you have a purpose now?
Of course. Nora, watching her grow up, I know I made room in my heart for a lot more.
Steve Hartman, On the Road.
So the journalist, he said that he asked the older man, Dan, why this little girl picked him out of all the old people in the grocery store that day. Apparently it was senior day. So there were lots of old people there, and Dan said, if I can be blunt, it was God. It was God who sent her. We are sent to make God's love visible. So may it ever be. Amen.